This is George M. Landis speaking on What's Worth the Scriptures. We're very happy to again be able to bring to you a message from God's Word. May we look at one verse in the ninth chapter of Genesis. And God said, I will set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Have you ever tried to find the end of a rainbow? In childhood, I saw a rainbow, one end of which rested in my father's field, but a few rods from our house. My twin brother and I set out to go to that end, as it was clearly revealed by the base of an oak tree. With boys' zeal and spirit of discovery, we decided to test the legend which affirmed that a pot of gold lay at the foot of every rainbow. We then crossed the fence, climbed the hill, and stood at the foot of the oak. Great was our disappointment to discover that the end of the bow was not there, but farther up the hill. We moved on, but always we saw the end of the rainbow just ahead of us, within tantalizing reach, but never where we stood. Then we learned in an unforgettable way that going to the end of the rainbow was a synonym for the pursuit of the unattainable. Many men spend all their lives chasing rainbows, and like Solomon of old, coming to the end of life without having found the end thereof, much less the fabled pot of gold, earthly pleasure, gain, or glory. Their disappointment is expressed in the sad words, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Like many things in nature, the rainbow is suggestive of much spiritual truth. We notice first the entrance of the rainbow. The rainbow was a divine appointment. God said, I will set my bow in the cloud. And when I look at it, I know that only God could have made it as it is, one of the most beautiful objects in all of his vast creation. The bow served a spiritual purpose even in that early day. It is a token or a sign of God's covenant with Noah and testified that never again would God destroy the earth with a flood, and he never has. But there is yet a judgment awaiting this sin-cursed world. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, informs us that not flood but flame will be the element of that coming judgment. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, that is the word of the same God who predicted the flood, are kept in store, reserved as a fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The bow is to be seen by both God and man. When God saw it, he would be reminded of his covenant. When man saw it, he would receive assurance. Notice next a sign of the covenant. As the first rainbow spoke to Noah of God's covenant regarding the safety of the earth from another flood, so the rainbow now may speak to us of God's new covenant of grace, which we find recorded in the Ark of Hebrews. Let us observe several facts concerning it. It is negotiated by God. As Jehovah said to Noah, I do set my bow, so he later said, I will make a new covenant. Man had no part in the making of the covenant with Noah, nor has he any in the making of the new covenant. If man redeemed humanity as his beneficiaries, it is made of Noah, and man will be saved from the flood. The new covenant will primarily be made of the house of Israel, but it embraces in its spiritual benefits the redeemed of this dispensation, those who have been saved from the judgment which their sins richly deserve. The darker the cloud, the brighter shows the rainbow. Where sin abounds, or merits the full fury of the outbursting cloud of judgment, their grace does much more abound. Both covenants notify of a past judgment upon sin. The new covenant is based upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon the cross, he was made sin for us. There he endured the whole of wrath divine. It is there that he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Little wonder that in that terrible midday darkness, when God's face was hidden, that the suffering one should cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God has but one way of dealing with sin, and that is to judge it. And that he does, whether it be the sins of the vilest wretch on earth, or the sins laid upon his sinless Son, the substitute of all who trust in him. The new covenant, like the rainbow, speaks of a judgment never to be repeated. Divine justice and holiness were forever satisfied at the cross. Sin can be judged but once. So we read, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." The case is forever closed, and all the powers of earth and hell cannot reopen it. Nothing can abrogate the new covenant. Suppose some timorous soul had said to Noah, "But may not a flood ultimately come and sweep me to death? Methinks I see that great man of faith point the troubled inquirer to the glorious bull and say, 'Oh yes, my friend, you may be lost in another flood, but not until you scale the heights of heaven and with your feeble arm erase the bow which his omnipotent hand has painted upon the clouds.' Just as the bow united heaven and earth, so the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, brings God and repentant man together in an indissoluble union. The timid children of God may say, "May not the tempter, in the last moment of my life, wrest my soul from him? May not some last sin sink my soul to the depths of an endless hell?" Can a saint be lost? Can a blood-washed child of God be damned? Oh yes, my friend, when you can climb to the highest height of heaven, and with your feeble finger erase from the book of redemption that blood-sealed and eternal covenant, when your puny hand can unlock the double grip of the omnipotent Father and the all-powerful Son, when your weak arm can break the seal of the Holy Spirit, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption, when thou canst bring to naught the decrees of God, wreck his eternal counsel, and overrule his electing grace, then, my fearful friend, and not till then, may thy soul be lost and thy spirit hurled to the depths of hell. The new covenant, like the rainbow, nullifies fear, for it exalts God's faithfulness. God in grace remembers his covenant, but forgets our sins. We may fully rest upon the unchanging word of the living God. In closing, may we consider the end of the rainbow. In the closing book of the Bible we read, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." We see that the bow is still associated with judgment and mercy, government and grace. Again, it is to give confidence to God's people on earth. In this case, the faithful Jewish remnant, in the time of the great tribulation, as they are to pass through a time of judgment. While we would not dogmatize here, we believe that in the first of these passages, the bow is seen in its entirety. From the language of the text, it is evidently a circlet round about the throne. On earth, we see but a part of the bow, a segment of the circle. It ends seem to be irreconcilable. With our little minds, we strive in vain to bring divine sovereignty and man's free agency together. Now we know in part, but someday we will know perfectly. Then will the ends be brought together, and we will see the unity and the perfection of God's purposes. But that circuit around the throne is without end. It becomes a wonderful illustration of the endless operation of the eternal covenant. All the blessings of heaven will be endless in their duration. Another very suggestive feature of this heavenly rainbow is its color, an emerald green. Without attempting to think about that which is written, there will not be a hidden gem of truth in the reference to this color. The primary colors of the rainbow are red, blue, and yellow. If the red is taken away, the two remaining colors, blue and yellow, if combined, make green. In heaven, there will be no need of the blood for redemptive purposes, for the redeemed will be in the presence of the Redeemer, never to depart. The remembrance of the atoning blood will be preserved in the great chorus of heaven, and in the appearance of the Lamb as it had been slain. But the need for the blood will have passed away, and passing away leaves a veil of green, the sign of life and the symbol of eternity. It is also a restful color to the eye, and may suggest the rest of the redeemed. And finally, the veil seemed to encircle the head of Christ in glory. Then indeed will we in reality see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. Little wonder is it that he who was the center of suffering in mediating the new covenant will be the center of glory in the celestial city in which that covenant has brought the children of God. And so we have found that the end of the rainbow is an endless rainbow. We have found at its end not a pot of gold, but a city of gold. Let us then rejoice whenever we see the infinite artist dip his celestial brush in ethereal pigments, and with one vast sweep of his almighty arm, paint upon the storm-clouded canvas the glorious seal of his eternal covenant and the beauteous symbol of his matchless grace. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.